Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Five-A-Side with me, Jim Campbell. Today's guest is Nick Bright, host of BBC Radio 1 Extra on Saturdays from 10 till 1, the squad on BBC Radio 5 Live, and a man who's generally popping up everywhere. Welcome, Nick. How are you doing today?
Yeah, not too bad, my friend. How are you?
I'm all right. So thank you for coming onto the show. Are you much of a five-a-side player yourself, generally?
Well, I used to be, believe it or not, back in the day, around college age and, when I was at university, when you're generally younger and a bit fitter. But yeah. Probably if you were to ask me when the last time I actually took part in a five-a-side game was, I would struggle to remember.
Yeah, I'm similar. And actually, I don't know if you had the same experience, but I used to play after school every day and sort of a bit more at college and stuff. But that first big gap after not playing to then going back to playing, I was not prepared for the world of pain that was my muscles the 2 days after that. Like when you play all the time, you have no idea that happens to you. But my God.
Yeah, it's no different to when you haven't been to the gym for a long time, I guess. And then all of a sudden, the next day, that's when you feel it. It's DOMS, isn't it? Delayed onset muscle soreness without getting, too scientific.
Nice.
or GCSE PE. It is horrible. I remember the first proper 11-a-side game. I still remember this now, to this day. When I say proper, I mean as an adult rather than as a child. I played an 11-a-side game against my college lecturers, believe it or not. I say adult, I'm still probably quite young, maybe 18 or 19. And I hadn't played an 11-a-side game properly for years, and the next day, well, it was probably about the next 3 days, getting in and out of bed was a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about like young footballers and stuff saying that, this idea of like not overplaying them. That's why, even when you're 18, like you feel like a statue. It's awful. Anyway, moving on from that hell. So obviously you are player manager of your team in this conceit. So yeah. Whereabouts are you putting yourself into that team?
Well, I used to contrary to what I've just said, I used to actually play semi-pro football back
right. in the day. So even that, you know, that even happens to you, which is, you know, there's no hope for the rest of us.
I used to play for a team called Moneyfields in Portsmouth, and which is where my parents live. And I used to play on the right side of defence. So that's where, I mean, it's five a side, so you probably can't stick myself there. But in defence somewhere is where I am putting myself.
More of a destroyer than a creator.
Most definitely. And more of a hoof it anywhere than a play it out from the backer.
Yeah, same. I am that as well. I would love to be one of those people that has the vision to pick a pass. But I feel like my style is more like just a hand grenade that's been rolled onto the pitch. Like, I'm not really that in control of my limbs. So we'll see what happens.
If in doubt, kick it out was the motto.
Indeed. So, well, that's very honest and fair. I think that's a trope of five-a-side players that we're all familiar with. But luckily, you can pick anyone from the world of football to guide you through that. So who have you gone for first as your goalkeeper?
Right, well, in goal, it could only be one man for me. Because I kind of feel like if I'm a player in a team, although I'm the manager as well, if there's a chance that I am actually on the pitch, I'm going to need, firstly, good players all around me. But secondly, I'm going to need people who I am scared of. And this man is definitely one of those. Jens Lehmann, former Arsenal and Germany goalkeeper. What a man.
Big Jens. An incredible man. And just a really good goalkeeper. It sort of gets forgotten about Jens because he's so... He was such an outspoken character. And when he did silly things, they really were quite spectacularly silly. But I mean, what a force between the sticks.
He just encapsulates for me what goalkeepers need to be. They need to be good, but also to play in goal, you need to be a little bit mad. And Jens, he kind of went completely mad. He even got the nickname Mad Jens from a lot of fans. But the maddest moments that I can remember from him was the sending off in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Because I'm an Arsenal fan, and it was very painful to lose that match. And
it was. Look,
I don't want to blame anybody for it, and I'm not blaming Jens Lehmann at all, because he did what he needed to do at the time. Well, he did what he thought was right at the time. But it we saw kind of flashes of the madness there. But the maddest moment for me came 2 years before that, when Arsenal won the league at White Hart Lane. Mm. 2-2 draw. Don't know if you remember the game.
We I were do. Tuning up
and Tottenham managed to bring it back to 2-2, but we only needed a point to win the league anyway. But based in the 92nd minute, I think it was, Jens Lehmann conceded a penalty when Spurs had a corner, and Robbie Keane stepped up. Robbie Keane was kind of, you know, when players kind of stand in the way of goalkeepers and stuff like that. Robbie Keane was basically doing that, making a nuisance of himself. And Jens Lehmann just decided to skull crush. It's the best way for me to describe it. I think of, you know, WWF wrestlers back in the day where they would you know, put their hands either side of someone's head and squeeze. That's kind of what Jens Lehmann did. And the penalty got given anyway, and Robbie Keane scored it, but we went on to win the league at White Hart Lane, so, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. But from that moment on, I was like, this guy, he's just bloody magnificent.
He is. I really sort of wonder what the thought process was there. It's almost like he'd got ahead of himself and he was fantasizing about actually picking up the trophy.
And
Yeah, Robbie Keane's head was the nearest thing. So that was what happened to be the substitute in his mind. The Champions League final thing was interesting as well. I think this really kind of sums up the brilliance, but also the chaos of Jens Lehmann, in that going up to that game and actually including it, I believe, he set a record for it was 10 consecutive clean sheets, which added up to 853 minutes without conceding a goal. And part of that run included that Champions League final, and he got sent off after 18 minutes. So, like, I mean, he's done this incredible, like, Herculean feat to get Arsenal there as well. And he saved a penalty from Juan Ramon Riquelme in the semi-final against Villarreal. Yeah. So he was a real hero. And then the icing on the cake is some quite mad icing.
I mean, we wouldn't have it any other way, though, surely.
No, absolutely not. Because, I mean, he came in to replace David Seaman, which is a huge ask, right? You know, he was one of those legacy goalkeepers, and especially having been the England goalkeeper and being a real sort of Arsenal character, that's it's a tough thing to do. And he comes straight into the team that wins the league without losing a game. But at the same time, you've got all those crazy little things that happened in there. And I really sort of enjoyed that about him. And also that he came out of retirement to help out Arsene Wenger. Just proper, like, one last job sort of thing. Like, kind of like a goalkeeping heist movie almost. Yeah. Like, he definitely had that kind of, just a sense of fun about him. But at the same time, it was more what he did than what he said. He's not like much of a wacky character, is he? If you were explaining Jens Lehmann to somebody who didn't know anything about them, they would probably get the impression that he's a bit of a crazy guy in the way he conducts himself. But it's all about how he acts. And I love that. It's all done with a straight face.
That's so true, actually. When you think about it, you know, he's not somebody who was flamboyant off the pitch or somebody who you'd hear lots of stories about outside of the 90 minutes. It was all about what happened on the pitch. And again, I'm kind of here for that because, you know, when certain players are more known for their antics away from the field than on it, it gets a bit tiresome and a little bit jarring, you know, a little bit like, you know, we all love Mario Balotelli to a degree, but it does become a little bit tiresome that everything about him is like, oh, did you see Balotelli doing this on Twitter or Instagram or whatever? Whereas with Lehmann,
show becomes the show.
Exactly. Whereas Jens Lehmann was very much like, you know, it might have been different if social media was more prevalent back then, but it wasn't. And, you know, it was the craziness that happened on the pitch that earned him the nickname Mad Jens. And I love that.
Fletcher. And Ronaldo gets it down. And Lehmann, nothing about it. It's hit him flush in the face. And he's driven this with some power. But this is really poor defending at the back post from Abui. It's a bread and butter cross you should deal with. But watch this. Flush off the face. But he won't mind. He won't mind. He's a goalkeeper and he's kept it out of his net somehow.
That's an exceptional start. I'm so glad to be able to talk about Jens Lehmann as any right-minded football fan, I'm sure, is. But I'm noticing a trend develop already, Nick. Who have you gone for as your first outfield player?
Right, well, my first outfield player, imagine these two playing together. So from Jens Lehmann to Sergio Ramos. That's who I've decided to go for. Who wouldn't want this guy in their five-a-side team?
Absolutely. Now, I try to, if people pick players that have been on the show before, I try to ask them to pick someone else. Sergio Ramos has been picked before, but I just have to relax it for him. I've got, it's Sergio Ramos. Again, he's one you can talk about all day. Like that disciplinary record of his is absolutely phenomenal. I think was his last red card his 26th or something, something mad like that.
26 deep in the game.
It's defining the game, really, isn't it?
Do you know that there's some people that would go, oh, he's a disgusting player, 26 red cards. But I kind of see it as a little bit of a badge of honour. You know, he is somebody who will go above and beyond for his team to win. If that means sacrificing himself, he makes himself a sacrificial lamb and many early showers. Maybe he just doesn't like showering with other people. Who knows? But, you know, 26 red cards and an ultimate amount of scumbaggery. I mean, I feel like his scumbaggery is unrivaled in the modern era.
Yeah. I mention this every time we talk about Sergio Ramos on the podcast, and I don't care, frankly, at this point, if it sounds repetitive. Five of those reds are against Barcelona.
Five against one team.
Most players don't get sent off that much in their career.
But the thing is with that, right? Obviously, Barcelona are Real Madrid's main rivals in La Liga. From my perspective, if we had a legacy player at Arsenal who was just constantly getting sent off against Spurs because he really, really wanted to win those games and he knows how much the fans hate Spurs, I think he's a cult hero.
Yeah, oh, without doubt. I mean, Sergio Ramos is too big to be a cult hero, isn't he, I think? He's more like a cult leader, Yeah. So he leads the cult of Sergio.
That's true.
But yeah, absolutely. The Real Madrid fans, they're not easy to please, are they? And,
no.
And you know, he is a mainstay there. And that is such a difficult thing to achieve at that club. The players that have gone through there and done well there that don't really achieve legend status is that there's not really a club comparable to it. But Ramos has really made that the heart of that defence his own. And what a player he is as well. He pops up with big goals all the time. And
yep.
It's just, yeah, he's not someone you want to play against.
He is a Bond villain, essentially.
Yeah. In
the footballing equivalent of a Bond villain, you know. He is hated by all, the ultimate bad guy, but loved and idolized by his own fans. And if you had him in your team, you know, we have to say as well, he's a top quality defender when he's not, you know, getting sent off, taking early showers and that, you know, great defender. And if I'm playing in defence, if I'm the only other option, we're going to need somebody good. So Sergio Ramos, it has to get in the team.
Absolutely. I think as well, one of the joys of being a football fan is not just that, you know, you love the quality of the elite level athletic prowess on display, but also the characters in it. There's almost a, you referenced to WWE earlier, but one of my favorite things about football is how kind of silly it can be. And Ramos gives you both of those things. He gives you that top level quality, or you know that if you're watching a game he's involved in, he's going to, you know, just wow you and impress you. But also you never quite know, well, you do know what might happen, but it's going to be chaos. This ticks straight already, Jens and Ramos. I mean, this is, you might not finish the game.
I mean, yeah, there's probably going to be red cards galore.
Benzema quickens the pace. Piqué is the rock-like figure for Barcelona. Ball to Messi. It's one of those tackles where Ramos had committed himself to the ball. Oh, straight red. Ramos is off. Goodness. Well, the referee didn't even consider that.
Let's have a look, see. I think he's right, because he does go on two-footed, Robbie. He's every right to set him off. That's a two-footed, that's a really rash challenge.
Wait to hear who I've got in midfield. If you feel like these two are bad, midfield is going to be an area where red cards are going to be prevalent.
All right, well then let's shuffle on from Sergio Ramos, because we all know what Ramos brings, and I think we've covered it fairly extensively. So who have you gone for in midfield?
Right, well, in midfield, I have gone for a footballer turned Hollywood star these days Hollywood. I don't know how accurate Hollywood is. That could be, I could be getting done by, for the Trades Description Act there. But anyway, he's a movie star of some kind. Vinnie Jones is who I'm talking about. The original member, or one of the original members of the Wimbledon Crazy Gang. A guy.
So also as well, I love the idea of you've got Jens in goal, you've got Ramos next to you. I'm going to assume Sergio Ramos doesn't know a huge amount about Vinnie Jones. But I just love the idea of Ramos looking to you going, are you sure about this guy?
I think Ramos is a big Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels fan.
Yeah,
really.
Fair. He's actually seen it. Yeah, that it's a very footballer film, that, isn't it?
Do you know what's strange? You know, there must be people out there in the world. There must be people in the world who don't know Vinnie Jones was a footballer and may only seen the film. And then they see old clips and they're like, that guy looks like the guy from Lockstock.
Yeah, that guy is grabbing Gazza's nuts. Is that Photoshop? Is that meant to be, what was he called? Was it Big Chris or Bullet Tooth Tony was Snatch, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was Big Chris. You are correct.
Yeah. But I mean, as a footballer, he was sort of widely mocked for his kind of hard man style, despite actually being really good at it. You know, I mean, that Crazy Gang, they won the FA Cup against Liverpool, which it's not really it's very hard to make a modern comparison to what an achievement that is. But again, 12 red cards, once booked after 3 seconds. three.
I'm probably not, if my five-a-side team, if we're entered in a tournament, we're probably not going to win. Not based on the fact that I don't have quality in the team, based on the fact that we're going to be expelled from the tournament.
Yeah, if you come up against a single wind-up merchant, you're done.
I mean, at least there's one thing we will win, and that is kind of, well, I say win, we'll come bottom of the fair play table, we'll get most red cards. And also, if there is a mass brawl, I feel like I'm in good company.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're probably not really going to get need to get involved, are you?
No,
at all, really.
No, not the face. That's the moneymaker for me. You know, I need that. You
know. So what's Vinny bringing to your team aside from the potential bomb scares of red cars?
Well, the main reason I put Vinny Jones in the team is not that long ago I was just browsing Facebook, unbelievably. I must be one of the only people that's still on there. But anyway, I was on there. And you know when these compilations, somebody, one of my friends on Facebook, who's probably somebody I haven't seen for about 600 years, posted a Vinny Jones compilation thing. It was basically just like a compilation of the hardest Vinny Jones tackles. Oh. And I was like, this guy, he is sensational. The fact that it shows how much football has changed as well from, the late 90s compared to now, because some of these tackles were just out of this world and they weren't even yellow cards. So I saw that and I was like, if I had the chance to play football with him, I most definitely would. He's also bringing, jokes and laughs, because you need that. You know, not only do you need good players and stuff like that, you need somebody who brings a bit of something else. And he, as I said at the start of this bit, you know, he was part of the original Crazy Gang and they were the jokers of football, that Wimbledon side. So much so that one of the first football matches that I can remember going to, I grew up in South London. I'm from South Norwood, which is a stone's throw from Selhurst Park. So you could see the ground outside my brother's bedroom window.
Wow.
And I'm sure I'd been to games before this, but this is one of my earliest football memories. And I checked the date. I had a look last night and checked the date, and it was the 22nd of December, 1997. I was at Selhurst Park. It was Wimbledon Arsenal, because Wimbledon used the ground share with Crystal Palace, of course.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this. There was floodlight failure. Twice, in fact, in the game. The floodlights went out and then they managed to get them back on and then they went out again and the game got postponed. But I can remember I think it was in between the first floodlight failure and the second floodlight failure. The players were back out on the pitch doing another warm-up to get ready to resume the game. And then when the floodlights went out again, Vinny Jones just decided to get the ball and run into the Arsenal end in front of all the Wimbledon fans and just smash it into the goal in the dark. And all the Wimbledon fans went mental, as you could imagine. Yeah. You know, they knew it weren't a goal, obviously, because the lights were out and nobody was tracking him and there was no one in goal. But, you know, people loved that stuff. And he did that. And it's funny the kind of things that you remember, because at that point as well, on the solo LED screen that they had in Selhurst Park back then, you know, not like the screens you've got now, which are basically TVs. They had an LED screen scoreboard, and up on it, it said, "Merry Christmas. Does anyone have any 50p's? Because the lights were going out. And I just remember it. And it was a little like hand putting a coin in a coin slot.
Yeah. It is one of those like quirky little 90s memories, isn't it? Like, it's not quite up there with when Cantona kicked that guy at Selhurst Park. But it is one of those sort of little and finally sort of moments. But yeah, I think that is a side of Vinnie Jones that was always there, wasn't it? That sort of quite clownish, like just funny side of him. And he cultivated both of those. I mean, it's not just because he was known as a hard man that he was cast as a hard man in Hollywood. He had he had some comic chops as well, even as a footballer. It's weird to be talking about how he translated his football personality to his acting one, but he really did do that. And he was cultivating that the whole time as well. Do you remember he got in some trouble because he made a video called Soccer's Hard Men? And it featured like advice basically for you if you were like a budding hard man, and it was just a video full of horrible tackles, like encouraging just foul play and violence while he was a player.
Big Chris settles debts for Harry. The only thing he cares more about than an unsettled debt is his son and heir, little Chris.
Look at me. Know what to see? See a bad mug.
This is one of them high power jobs, isn't it? Got some bad news for you, John.
What the fuck?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2? The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do. Ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, 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 beep.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
You've got a lot of steel in there, but there's a bit of panache coming up. Who have you gone for as your other midfielder?
Yeah, a bit of what I like to call steely panache, actually, just because once I say the name, you'll understand why. I've gone for Zinedine Zidane as my next player. Zizou, I mean, what can you say about Zidane? One of the most technical, gifted players I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, without question. And that was what stands out to him. He's one of those players where obviously he's the sort of the talisman of a generation, really. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about football that sets it apart from a lot of stuff, it's the loyalty involved, isn't it? It's that you support a club and you are just like, once you choose that club, you are bonded to that club forever. And the most important thing in football is your club. And to a lesser extent, in some cases, your country, because obviously, you know, people are loyal to their country for whatever reasons, aside from sport. But Zidane really transcends that, doesn't he? You don't need to have supported a club that Zidane played for. You don't need to be French to love Zidane like he was one of your own, because he's one of the diamonds in the crown of the sport itself, really.
I feel like he was kind of one of the originators for that, because we are seeing nowadays, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like nowadays we're seeing a lot of people supporting players, almost like the American model. You know, like in America, people follow certain basketball players, and when they leave to go to different franchises, they just follow that franchise, and the same with NFL. And we're starting to see that now in football with people like Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo and Neymar, and you know, the superstars. And Mbappe, I'm sure, is going to be one of those. But Zidane was kind of like the original player for that, because even though he spent a large chunk of his career at Real Madrid, and I think it was Juventus before that, you know, people, as you've just said, just love to watch him. And I think it's because he was just so good when it came to being able to find that perfect pass, being able to bring the ball down, those little touches, those little, you know, tricks, those flicks, those things that, you know, as football fans, when we see, you know, players do that, even in the stadium, you hear people go, "Oh,
yeah,
like Zidane was that guy."
But he was, it was the glide he had as well as he ran. It was just like such total control of the ball, almost like they were bonded together when he was on it. And yeah, just he's such a player for the big occasion as well. And as you say, he's got that steely panache as well, that kind of hard man side to his game. But I wonder actually, because you've got so many other hard men in there, if everything was kicked off, I don't know if he'd actually need to kind of activate like crazy Zidane, you know, like maybe he could keep calm and just boss the game.
Just leave it up to Vinnie Jones.
We've
got Vinnie in there. You know, he's the enforcer, and Zinedine Zidane just in front of him to, you know, pick out that perfect pass to my striker, who I'm not going to reveal just yet.
Yeah. If Zidane loses the ball, which he won't, there'll be Vinnie there to clean it up.
Yeah, and if Vinny's not there, we got Sergio Ramos, you know? I'm laughing here. I'm hardly going to have to do anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, but obviously, Zidane is remembered mostly by a lot of people for what happened in his final game for France, which was the headbutt to Maserati, which was a shame that France went on to lose the game.
It was unreal, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. Do you know what? I personally feel like in my football watching lifetime and matches that I watched firsthand or that I can remember watching, because again, you've obviously got Anfield 89, which I've seen a million times, but I don't remember watching that. I was too young. I would have been three. So for me, that 2006 World Cup final is one of the most surreal games I remember watching live. Because it was crazy. It was all built up to be like, this is his final game. You know, he's probably, because everybody was saying he's probably going to bow out as, you know, a World Cup winner again, blah, blah, blah. It was all built to be, you know, France are going to win again. And then just the maddest moment, you know, and we'll never know if, you know, what's claimed to have been said was said or what, because we weren't on the pitch, but it's just the maddest moment.
Yeah, I remember seeing it happen and then basically not believing my eyes. Do you know what I mean? It's a very rare feeling. It was almost like it happened, I didn't take it in, and then my brain went, hang on, did he just headbutt him? Oh God, he's going to have to be sent off. He's going to have to be sent off. And that feeling was just the drama unfolding. It was Shakespearean almost. And as you say, the fact that the World Cup final was his final game. Like, it wasn't just the end of a season at club level. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that was curtailed through injury. It was the biggest game in football was the stage on which he was bowing out. And then it went that way.
It is, when you kind of break down all the facts and, you know, we know all this, what you've just said, but when you kind of say it, it's like, yeah, wow, bloody hell, that's mad. You know, to do that. And also, you know, a lot of the time, if something gets said or you don't like something that's been said, there might be kind of like, you might go in for the next tackle a bit, you know, rougher, or you might try and do like a sly stamp or something. I don't know. But to just do, he knew at that moment, there's no way you're getting away with it. None. Yeah.
But
it was kamikaze, essentially. That's what he did.
That's what I can't get my head around. It's Marco Materazzi. He's a wind-up merchant. You know, he'd have been doing it all game. And even if he hadn't, Zidane's had a long career. He's an intelligent man. You know, he doesn't really think those things about your sister. Like, yeah. I will never, if you and I can't understand it now, then we will never understand it. Do you know what I mean? It's just what an incredible rush of blood to the head.
Yeah, I mean, it was lucky it went to his head, actually, because, you know, that's the instrument he decided to use.
Yeah.
But it was just, for me, I don't think, I mean, I'm saying this now, there probably will be something that is even more crazy that will happen. But, you know, for all the reasons that you just gave and, you know, the fact that, again, final game ever. Not final game for country before going back to playing for your club for another couple of seasons. Final game ever. And you just decide to go bang. But you don't care. You couldn't care less because you know, you're that fuming. I don't think we're going to see something like that again for a long time.
No. There is actually a statue of the incident. I forget where it is. I think it might have moved around a couple of times.
In Zidane's house.
But also, what I find really interesting about that is, yes, there is a statue of Zinedine Zidane committing perhaps the most iconic moment of his career. But if you're Marco Materazzi, someone's made a statue of you getting nutted. And that's got to be weird, right?
Listen, the way that I would see it, I've still got a statue. That's the way I'm seeing it. You know, it's all about how you sell it.
Exactly.
You know, not exactly what it is. I'll be like, when you're talking to people, you got a statue? Have you got a statue? No, I've got a statue, mate.
What are you doing? I was getting comeuppance for being a massive shithouse, but actually it worked out pretty well for me. You've got to commit to that lifestyle.
Football is a series of moments, essentially. That's, you know, what it's all about. Whether it's, as mentioned, Anfield 89, or just to balance it out for non-Arsenal fans right now, if it's, you know, Arsenal getting battered by Manchester United, scoreline that I'm not going to mention. You know, it's moments, and that was a moment and some.
Now, Materazzi did what? This is going to give us a bit more of a clue. He said something. He certainly said something. Now what happens? He's saying some more. Well, the pictures tell the story. He leaves football in disgrace. And he leaves his team in big trouble.
You've got a great platform to build on there, but obviously you need somebody to finish it off at the top. Who have you gone for as your final outfield player?
Do you know, it was very tough. Well, it wasn't, for the reasons that I'll give you in a moment, but in terms of when you're growing up, everybody wants to be a striker, don't they? You know, when you're playing football in the playground, when you're idolising your favourite players, nobody talks about, you know, defenders or whatever. Everybody talks about the striker. So, you know, there were so many people that I would love to have put in this role, but for me, it had to be Ian Wright. He is the reason, he's the man, you know, that made me fall in love with Arsenal as a club. I was going to have no choice because, you know, my whole family are Arsenal fans. My dad is diehard. My uncle's been a season ticket holder my whole lifetime and more. My granddad's Ghanaian, but when he came to this country, he was already an Arsenal fan before he came to the country. So I wasn't going to have a choice in the matter. But Ian Wright made that. He cemented it for me, you know, because as I said, I'm from South London. He's from South London. And at my school, you know, where when you played football in the playground, everybody wanted to be Wrighty.
Yeah, I can imagine. And this is funny that you say that because I don't come from a family that traditionally liked football that much. So I grew up in Zone 6 in a town called Raynham. So our thing was always you could support a London club. And I'm really grateful that I didn't grow up from a football supporting family because I'd probably have to support West Ham. But it was Ian Wright that made me love Arsenal in exactly the same way. Just something infectious about the guy.
He is, I mean, we're seeing it now, you know, on Match of the Day and all the various different platforms that he's popping up on now. His personality is massive and it always has been. It's just now he's able to show it off more because of things like social media and that. And I often see when he puts things up on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, a lot of the comments are people saying like, you know, I'm a Spurs fan, but I love you, Wrighty. I'm this, I'm that, you know, because he is just somebody who is... he's infectious, the way that he carries himself. And I remember the, you know, obviously he had to come home during the World Cup in Brazil because of what happened at his family home. But before he came home, I tweeted him. This was the first time that he actually replied to a tweet of mine because I'd been a fan, obviously, for years. And then I tweeted him and I just said, you look like you are having the best lad's holiday ever. And then he just replied like, I am. And I, firstly, I was like, great, because he's acknowledging it. But secondly, like, flipping out, Ian Wright's just tweeted me back. I was so excited. Like, I was over the moon. And obviously since then, you know, I've gone on to meet Wrighty quite a lot and work with him on several different things. And that to me is still a surreal experience.
I bet. Yeah, he's a sort of special figure for a lot of people, and also especially because he came to football, or professional football, certainly quite late. Yeah. I think he was 22 when he signed for Palace, wasn't he? Which obviously, you know, he's not old, but he's still, in terms of how professional footballers you know, plot out their careers even at that time. That is very late. And because of, I think because of that, and also because of that personality, he felt like a fan on the pitch in the same way he feels like a fan in the punditry team. And I think there's just a lot of value to that. And that sort of, it just warms me. Right, he just warms me.
Yeah, well, he warms all of us. He is, you've just hit the nail on the head there. He was most definitely a fan on the pitch, you know, and Crystal Palace fans will vouch for that as well, because Palace fans still love him and what he did at Palace, and he still shows a lot of love for them when he's on Match of the Day and stuff. But, you know, I've read his autobiography, and I'm sure, you know, many people listening to this probably have as well. I don't know if you have, Jim, but in his autobiography, he talks a lot about the come up and how difficult it was, and how he was, you know, moments away from just packing it in. And then he got given a chance. I think it was Steve Coppell at Crystal Palace who gave him a shot, and the rest is history, I guess. And he cried the day he got signed by Arsenal. He cried. It was a mixture of tears of joy, but also tears of happiness, because he cried tears of joy because he wanted to play for Arsenal, because his long-term friend David Rowcastle, Rocky Rowcastle, was playing for Arsenal at the time, and they grew up together, and he really wanted to, you know, follow in David Rowcastle's footsteps. But also he was sad because he didn't want to leave Crystal Palace, and he really valued the fact that Steve Coppell gave him that opportunity at Palace, and it was hard to leave. But, you know, he doesn't look back now, but just that shows you the type of person that he is, and you know, how decent Wright he is, and also how in touch with his feelings he is. I love that about him, you know. He's constantly crying, you know. I don't know if you listened to Desert Island Discs that he did.
Oh yeah, it's infamous, isn't it? It's Ian Wright's story of you know, of the background he has, and the lack of support he really received, and the difficulties he was, you know, he got into in his life before you know, football effectively turned it around, is a hell of a listen. Do check it out.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And you know, again, just a memory of mine, South Norwood, when Wrighty was playing for Arsenal, I think he still lived in South London. I think, I'm not too sure. Obviously, I wasn't stalking him or anything, but I'd often see him driving. He used to have a white BMW. It was a convertible BMW, white. And I'd often see him driving through South Norwood, where I grew up, in this car. And I just thought, that is the coolest man ever. That's what I want to be doing at some point in my life. Still haven't managed to achieve it.
Well, you know, it's early days yet, and it's a high thing to aim at as well. You're absolutely right about how openly he wears his emotions, and that's a rare thing among footballers. And I think that is what makes him such a sort of such a great figure. And on the pitch as well, I think perhaps because he's got such a big character, and he's probably more known as a pundit now, and also this applies to Gary Lineker as well, I think a younger generation have no idea how good those players were. Like, he was so quick, he could score every type of goal, he popped up when you needed him, he scored important goals. You just knew when Wrighty was on the pitch that you were probably going to be all right, and that is just, as a fan, it's invaluable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you need, it sounds like a cliche, but that classic fox in the box, you know, you knew that if Wrighty was getting on the end of anything, 9 times out of 10, it was going in the back of the net. And that's the reason why, you know, Arsenal fans fell in love with him, because he was the man that was scoring the goals. And like I said at the very start of this section about your striker, everybody idolises the striker. Everybody wants to be the striker. And when you've got someone like Ian Wright with the gold tooth and the big grin, you know, and the Nike boots, I remember everything about, you know, watching Wrighty as a kid. And it's, like I said, to meet him for me was a pleasure. And I'll never forget that he messaged me on Instagram saying that we should, he used to do a thing called the Wright and Bright Show, or the Bright and Wright Show. I can't remember which way around it was. It was with Mark Bright. And he said, we should reboot it, me and you.
Oh,
I've been pitching it, but, you know, nobody wants to take it.
Oh, man. Oh, well,
if you've got any connections, mate, have a word.
If you're listening, literally anyone, make it happen. Make it happen.
Well, to get the pass away, and what a dangerous pass it's turned out to be. Limpar. And Wright has struck home a hat-trick for Arsenal. A terrific first half here at Highbury.
Right, so we could talk about Wrighty all day. So let's, as tempting as it is, let's move on to your substitute, who, if you're listening to this show for the first time, that you know, people picking their teams also get a rolling substitute, but that person cannot be a footballer. And who have you gone for, Nick?
Right, well, for my rolling sub, growing up again, I was a huge, I mentioned it already once before, but I was a huge WWF fan, which is now obviously the WWE. And I grew up when, you know, the golden era of WWE, it was called the Attitude Era, the best era. So it was from the late 90s to the early noughties. And it's basically the era that had Stone Cold Steve Austin, the era that had D-Generation X with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, you know, all of these guys. So I've gone for the great one, the Brahma Bull, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. I have, of course, gone for Dwayne The Rock Johnson. How could you not? This guy, he is one of my favorite. And I say this without, you know, a smirk on my face or, you know, with any sarcasm. He's one of my favorite people in the world.
The man is incredible, and electrifying is the word. It's like a human being has been carved from pure charisma. And having that cheerleading you on the side, I think even this team of shithouse maniacs would gain some energy from that.
The scariest thing, I was thinking about this last night, actually. The scariest thing is, it would be my job as player manager to tell Dwayne The Rock Johnson that he's on the bench. That would be the scariest moment. It's like, yeah, sorry, Rocky, mate. You're not in the team today. You're on the bench.
Sorry, how much do I bench? No. You're actually on the... oh, God.
I'd probably end up getting the people's elbow, to be honest with you, if I said that to him. But I just think that he is somebody who's made such a success out of his life. You know, he obviously is successful in the WWE, but from then I don't know if this is still a fact because I don't keep abreast of these things too much, but at one point he was most definitely the highest earning actor in the world, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think perhaps his movies had a combined gross total of over $1 billion at the box office or something absolutely crazy like that. I mean, a lot of that will be Fast and the Furious franchise, I would imagine, but even so, it's an incredible achievement to come out of something else. So you've got a feel for Vinnie Jones a little bit there, and Wrighty to a point. It's like, all right, oh, you do a bit of acting, do you? Oh, what, so after one career you presented, what was it, Top of the Pops? I used to be a wrestler. I do a bit of acting myself now, you know. But I think he'd be humble, to be fair.
Well, nobody's going to say anything to The Rock, are they? That's the thing. They have to be humble.
Yeah.
Shut your damn mouth and know your role, in the words of The Rock.
So to play slight devil's advocate here, and no, I would not say this to his face, but is there a chance that he's so big it would affect his mobility on the pitch and it actually, you know, it might hinder his game somewhat?
Well, I mean, I did think about this, but... I also then thought to myself, well, if we're winning 1-0 or 2-1, you know, squeaky bum time and that, get The Rock on, you know, and just tell him to be cynical all the time. Just shoulder, but just stand there. Just don't let anyone run past you. That's what I say. You know, just stand there. They'll smack. Even if they try and go shoulder to shoulder with The Rock, who's going to win that?
Yeah. Just as they approach, give them the eyebrow. Yeah. They will crumble.
Give them the people's eyebrow and then they will just be like, yeah, probably I don't really fancy this. It's The Rock. I mean, what a guy.
Yeah, you know, what a guy.
He's mic work as well, just for the record. I'm just fanboying now, basically.
No, fair enough.
You know, his mic work, even to this day, is probably the best mic work in the WWE ever. So I feel like he would be somebody who, even though I'm the player manager, he would be somebody who I'd be like, look, Rocky, you do the team talk. You handle the team talk. I know you've got this.
You are the people's player manager.
Yeah.
In this scenario.
I'm going for that.
Give the people what they want. Away! Olympic
That is a spectacular way to end the show. Thank you very much for coming on, Nick. It's hugely appreciated. Is there anything you want to plug that you would like to send people towards?
If you want to listen to my radio shows, that'd be great. This is a football podcast, so probably best to plug my Radio 5 live show. It's called The Squad. You can hear it on Sunday mornings on BBC Radio 5 Live. Me kind of talking rubbish about what's been happening in the world of football with a panel and stuff. And if you like music, I'm on Radio 1 Extra every Saturday at 10 in the morning.
Cool. Nice one. Well, again, cheers, Nick. And thank you guys for listening. And we'll see you all later.
Nice one.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.